Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there and welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 160. Dude, can you believe that we've done this stupid podcast this is the 160th time we've done this.
Dude, how dare you call this a podcast?
what is this exactly then?
This is just a discussion between friends.
Okay.
This is, as we said last week, two people who like to have arbitration.
That's right.
Amongst hockey,
we enjoy judging.
Decision makers.
We enjoy judging.
We cast judgment down. We're not always right. Rarely we are, but we have fun doing it.
Yeah,
dude, we've got, you know, we're kicking around. I enjoyed seeing some comments on the blog this week going, I'm not sure why I'm still listening this summer. I'm not sure what we're doing either. But
right.
You know, believe it or not, there's still some stuff to talk about. And this week we're going to answer a few emails. We're going to talk about one little bit of business and then get into the Sharks prospects, which I think was a topic we touched on briefly last week.
Yeah, I don't mind this time of year. It kind of gives you the opportunity to think about stuff other than, okay, how did the Sharks do last night? You know, who's hurt, who's not, who's coming up, who's getting traded? You know, this is more, and we have some emails to that effect this week, which is, you know, more grander ideas about, okay, where's the game going? You know, what's the right thing to think about in terms of the Sharks and all this kind of stuff. We had one last week, you know, from an emailer looking over sort of the whole of Doug Wilson's career. You know, how would you rate him as a GM, pointing out some of the moves that, you know, didn't look so good or don't look so good, and how would he stack up against other GMs, and is he doing a good job? That kind of stuff. So I really don't mind, broadcasting or podcasting, whatever this is, at this time of year, because you can sort of just talk about whatever you want, and you can spend, you know, 20 minutes talking about the Sharks signing a fourth line player that we already spent a lot of time on some time on last week, Andrew Murray. So it finally came down.
Yeah, although there's still no details, but it was on the Sharks official page. Andrew Murray, a veteran of, I guess, four seasons with the Columbus Blue Jackets, is now a member of the San Jose Sharks. He's a fourth line player. He had a real good year the year they went to the playoffs, although he got hurt and didn't play that year. In the playoffs, he's been banged up last year. He's going to throw the body around. He can kill penalties. He's a bigger guy. I think he's like 6'2".
Mm-hmm.
So another live body. I think the interesting thing about this player is that he's a college player. We know how much Doug Wilson has a man crush on anyone who went to college.
Right.
Yeah, he's so delighted to have them on the team.
Loves the
educated. He went to Bemidji State. Bemidji State.
Sweet. Hockey powerhouse, actually.
Yes. So Murray has not played in the AHL in 4 years, and I don't think he's going to want to play there this year.
Right.
So I think he's going to come into camp and really push some of these younger guys to see what they've got. You know, can Ben Ferriero beat out Andrew Murray for a roster spot?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to find out. This is good. I like bringing in some hungry guys who are going to, you know, Ben Gitte. Gitte?
Gitte.
Am I said it right?
I thought it's Gitte. Accent on the first syllable.
Okay. Ben Gitte.
Thank you.
He's not going to want to go back down and ride the bus either. So, I mean, those guys are going to give it a shot. And they'll be hungry. So it's going to push the younger players a little bit.
Isn't Kyle Wellwood hungry too?
I'm sure he is. Another week and Kyle Wellwood is still unsigned. I feel like we need to have that be our next song.
Yeah, we need a Kyle Wellwood song.
Maybe the listeners should chime in with an email or a tweet. questions@dudesonhockey.com, or you can tweet at us on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And give us suggestions on what Kyle Wellwood's theme song should be. As we're sort of on Kyle Wellwood watch. We were on Chi-Chi watch.
Yep.
We've been on Lemieux watch. Now we're on Kyle Wellwood watch.
Why are... I don't know why we would be on Kyle.
Because it's funny. There's got to be a funny song.
Yeah, there's got to be a good one. Like...
Hungry like the wolf.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Dude, I have a bet proposal. Let's see who can pick the closest number to Andrew Murray's salary, because it's not yet on CapGeek. This is a Tuesday early evening, so... Last year, what was his number? 650?
His salary was 650. His cap hit was 625.
Okay, so let's over under 625. What do you want?
Under.
You want under?
Yeah.
I'll take the over on that. Sweet.
There, you think Doug Wilson gave a guy a raise who couldn't even play a full season? He's going to give him more money than he would have given Jamal Mares, who got 600.
Ew.
Too late.
It's too late.
It's too late. You got, oh. What is this? Just a beer?
Yeah.
A frozen custard.
Yeah, frozen custard.
Oh, no, beer. Frozen custard. That's just, that's so.
How about.
Strawberry Shortcake about, podcast. Okay. Down the dial.
Okay, for a beer then.
Okay.
So I'm over 625.
Okay.
Okay. All right. 625 is a push?
Probably right.
625 is the push?
Yeah, it's okay. A push. It's definitely over 625. Doug Wilson hasn't grossly overpaid anybody yet.
Never have.
No, I mean, not this offseason.
That's true. He's due.
$1 million.
So, yeah, you're right. So he's a fourth line player. Did he really play? I didn't look up his time on ice numbers, but did he actually play the kill a lot?
He has played the kill. He didn't really factor in as much of a factor, period, last year. I mean, mm-hmm. He was kind of banged up. So, but the year that he was a regular contributor on that team, I think he did play the kill. He wasn't one of their top killers, but he had over a minute of average a game.
That's pretty good.
You know, so he was in the rotation.
Couple shifts.
Yeah. Second pairing occasionally.
Well, dude, the other big news of the NHL, we might as well hit that before we get on to the prospects, is Steven Stamkos does finally re-sign with the Tampa Bay Lightning for 5 years, $7.5 million per year. So that's some good coin. He's 23 years old, something like that?
Yeah, he's 22. A young guy. I mean, that's...
He's a restricted free agent. That's obviously a lot of money for a restricted free agent, although both Crosby and Ovechkin got quite a bit more than that, actually, in years where the cap was much smaller. So, to be perfectly honest, I was a little surprised that he only got that amount of money, $7.5 million. Considering Brad Richards is getting the max a couple of years... I think I would rather have Steven Stamkos than Brad Richards. I don't think I'm alone.
Don't you think Yzerman, the reason why it's taken so long is that he was sort of playing the Doug Wilson, Ken Holland card. Let's do a cap-friendly, you know, Bowman-type deal here. Mm-hmm. This is the good teams have had success with this.
That's
where
right.
you're going to get less than you would have gotten from someone else, but I can use that money to bring in someone else or keep Victor Hedman when his deal's up or something like that. You're not going to price us out of being a competitive team for 5 years.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. I'll never know what $37.5 million looks or smells like. But
no.
I would imagine when it comes down to 37.5 and 44.5, you eyeballing it, you probably don't really know the difference. So,
yeah.
He probably would rather win than have that extra money.
I suppose so. And I could see things getting a little sticky if he gets an offer sheet and all this kind of thing. It's
sure.
a little bit more drama.
And if things go in the toilet, people are going to... You can trade Steven Stamkos to 7.5.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. If you give him the max and he gets a little banged up, maybe gets like... Or like Crosby, you know, a bad ankle injury, which can be really detrimental to a player's career, not to mention the whole concussion thing that Crosby's going through, but... Even something weird like a knee, or you're Jeff Kent and you ride the motorcycle off the back of your truck or something.
Nice, dude.
Thanks.
He was washing his truck, by the way.
Sure. Washing. Is that what they call it?
That's what he said. It's not guilty, dude.
Of course not. Did have good mustache, though, Jeff Kent.
Best mustache ever.
Ever? Better than Raleigh Fingers?
No.
Okay. Let's move on.
Other restricted free agents have signed. We have Andrew Cogliano.
Mm-hmm.
Did not have to go to arbitration. He signs with the Ducks. They gave him
over $2 million.
You know, 3 years, $7.17 million. Pretty healthy deal for a guy who, you know, whenever Edmonton is shipping out young players,
right? Not a good sign.
That's not a good sign. If they weren't willing to give him that for a team that desperately needs scoring and to keep a young core together, that's not good. Another Bob Murray doozy to me. He's brought on two fantastic hapless Oilers.
Yeah.
Curtis Foster and Andrew Cogliano. I mean, he'll probably get 40 points, but he's supposedly miscast as a third line center. Maybe he'll thrive there. Blake Wheeler signs a 2-year deal in Winnipeg $5.1 million. That was a guy who we were kind of eyeing going maybe...
This guy might get arbitration and then get chucked.
Yeah, or maybe this was his way of saying he didn't want to
mm-hmm.
go, but he'll be freezing his corn nuts off up in Winnipeg for 2 years. We're still waiting on the New York Rangers,
yeah.
Callahan and Dubinsky, still unsigned. Reports today that the Dubinsky negotiations are especially contentious, dude. What do you think's going to happen up there? That's crazy, right?
I think they're going to go to arbitration and then pay him. That's what I think is probably
going to happen. Why would you? I can't imagine. The other player that has an arbitration hearing scheduled is Shea Weber. What is, what?
What?
He's going to arbitration, dude. I mean, they've still got time
mm-hmm.
to figure it out, but why would you ever let your franchise player go to arbitration?
I don't really get that. I mean, do you really want to be in a position where you go into a meeting with the player and his representation and say, although this guy's a Norris finalist, you know, you're terrible because of the following reasons, and this is why we should only pay you $2 million a year. I mean, that, why would you want to be in that kind of meeting? I understand if you're going to be in that meeting with Andrew Cogliano, you know, but Shea Weber, I mean, this is a guy that you should be building the entire team around.
They say that they are. I mean, all the moves they've made this offseason, sort of jettisoning Lombardi's salary and taking on the girth of Brett Lebda and kind of letting some of these other guys go. I mean, they've lost players and really gained nothing. And I assumed it was so that they could absorb. There's no way they're going to go to arbitration with Shea Weber, right?
I guess not. I mean, me personally, I think it's worth the goodwill for the player. And to the fans, right? I don't know, you know, how seriously the fans would take it. But let's say the Sharks go to arbitration with Logan Couture and they get a pretty, you know, let's say the Sharks are in a rebuilding mode and all they have left, you know, Joe leaves and Patrick Marleau leaves and Dan Boyle leaves and all these players leave and we're just trying to build around Couture and then the Sharks take him to arbitration to see if they can get some bucks. It's like, I wouldn't be looking on the Sharks management like too highly because of that. It's like, in a way, I almost think if you're going to pick a player to build around, and it's almost sort of like what the Flyers did with Richards before they traded him, which is you give him kind of a sweetheart deal. I mean, you want the guy to be the heart and soul of your franchise and you want him to have good feelings towards the management team.
Right.
I don't know why you would really want to alienate a player like that. You know, the potential for alienation certainly is there. Who knows? Maybe Shea Weber has a really thick skin and you can just sort of take it and sign or not sign and that's just that. But I don't know why you would want to take that risk. I mean, everybody says Weber's the one guy that you keep in that town. Just pay him the money. Just pay him, you know? I mean, then you can stiff Marcel Gotch or, you know, whoever. You know, you can stiff somebody else. And,
we'll
you know,
see.
Just pay Weber the money.
It would be shocking if any of those three guys we just talked about made it to arbitration. It'd be such a terrible mistake by management.
Yeah, I think so. See. And Drew Doughty still unsigned.
Yeah, Drew Doughty, that's, you know, there's also be so shocking if they didn't come to some sort of resolution.
Mm-hmm.
So... I would laugh heartily if that fell apart in Dean Lombardi's face, but it would be pretty unlikely.
Dude. Do you want me to read the email about the Kings now, dude?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so this is from Eric. Is it too early to pick a preseason favorite? Should I wait until preseason? All biases aside, I find the Kings lineup to be terrifying. Kopitar, Brown, Richards, Gagne, with Williams, Penner, and Stahl. Their D-men are solid with Doughty and Johnson, assuming Doughty resigns. Quick is no slouch either. This team was tough enough to handle the postseason without the upgrades. It's going to be a handful now. He's encouraged by the Sharks making moves this summer. Feel pretty comfortable with the deals thus far. They're pretty fair. No steals like we did with Heatley or Thorne, but solid all around. So here's the thing. I know there's been a little bit of you know, contention about where the Kings and the Sharks match up, but would you put them even or would you put the Kings ahead right now, dude, in terms of going into the season?
Well, first of all, I do think it's too early because
mm-hmm.
there's still, you know, 2 months for teams to make pretty big changes. You know,
right.
You think most of the big changes have probably already happened, but I mean, a guy can get hurt. I mean, mm-hmm. but obviously if we're kind of looking at it right now, I mean, are the Kings better than they were when we played them in the first round?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're better. Are they better than the Sharks? I have a hard time saying that, but I think that they have comfortably solidified themselves as number two.
No question about
that. You know, they're real deep up the middle. Kopitar, Richards, and Stoll. That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's very, very solid. up the middle. And then you've got Brad Richardson, who I think can play some center. I'm not sure about the depth of their bottom six forwards, you know. Losing Wayne Simmonds, I think, will affect them a little bit in that way.
Right.
But, I mean, if you're going to choose between Wayne Simmonds and Mike Richards, I mean, you're going to pick
Mike
Richards.
That's not a good choice, yeah.
Every time. They have some question marks there, dude, that I think keeps me from being a full-blown Kings believer. I mean, Dustin Penner,
yeah,
he sucked last year for
them. I was going to bring that up, and I mean, Dean Lombardi ripped him. Did he say, he said something like, this guy's got to decide if he's going to be an NHL player or like a beer league third baseman or something to that effect, right?
Yeah, he was not good and basically was skating, you know, in their third and fourth line against the Sharks and had almost zero impact from what I remember. And then if the Sharks had signed Simone Gagné, and you might be of different opinion, but if they had given Gagné that deal, I wouldn't have been very happy about it.
How much did he get?
I think he got, you know, 2 years, $7 million or something like that.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, the guy, remember, we had him on our fantasy team last year at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
He was terrible.
That's true.
And then he ended strong, and I think he had a decent playoffs, dude. If they're putting all their... I mean, you look at... And then you've got Justin Williams, who doesn't have the best health history either.
Right.
So you've got three of your, you know, top four wingers, not exactly, you know, out of the woods in terms of, you know, going to Kaiser every other day to get an ailment checked out or to get their head examined like Dustin Penner. That's a big leap of faith.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good point. I mean, Simone Gagné, when he's good, he's great. When he's not good, he's terrible and he gets hurt. So if they roll the dice and it comes up seven, then Simone Gagné at $3.5 million a year could be an awesome signing.
It could be a steal, you know, or it could be a big problem. I mean, I'm trying to think. Did I get the contract numbers correct?
No. Yes, 2 years, $7 million.
So, and Simone Gagné last year had 40 points.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I mean, he's a minus 12, 40 points. It came on strong at the end. He had 12 points in the playoffs. He did contribute there. But he misses 63 games. So he missed, you know, 19 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just not interested. I'm not totally sold that they're going to be able to put it together.
Okay.
You know? But they're good.
All the potential that you expect, if they all play the best that they've been or the best that we've seen them, then I think they're probably better than the Sharks. Assuming that they all play to their potential. If Gagné is playing at his peak and Richard's playing at his peak and Kopitar and all those guys, yeah. I mean, if they re-sign Doughty and he continues to progress.
So where do you give them the edge? The blue line?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is we probably have a little bit more depth, but I think they might have a little bit more top end. I don't know. It's hard to...
I mean, I'm a Drew Doughty fan. I think he's good.
Yeah.
He made a lot of mistakes in that series, you know, against us. I mean, he was kind of all over the place.
Mm.
You know, so you're going to pick between right now, Dan Boyle or Drew Doughty. I mean, right now, I take Dan Boyle. Right now.
Right.
You know, if I'm going to go to battle
2 years,
now,
right. You won't.
No, yeah. In 2 years, yeah. You probably change your mind. But right now, I'm going to pick Dan Boyle. Are you going to pick Jack Johnson or Brent Burns?
Right. That's not a choice, yeah. I would take Burns.
Yeah, so their top two versus our top two. Our top two are better.
Mm-hmm.
Better. I mean, now that wasn't the case last year.
Right.
But now we've got the edge there, and now you're getting down into, okay, so Vlasic or Scuderi. And
or
now you're at
Mitchell.
Mitchell and Murray. And now you're getting, I mean, now you're getting, it's close.
Right.
You might take their two players over our two players, but it's close. And now you're getting down into, you know, the Demers, Drew Whiskey comparisons. I mean, it's close, dude, but...
Eric, I think the thing that's interesting is we sort of see where this team is going to go, right? We look a couple years down the road, and you still have Richards, and you still have Gagné, and you still... Hopefully, Kopitar continues to improve, and Dustin Brown continues to improve, and all these guys continue to go up. And we've talked about how maybe the Sharks are a little bit on a downhill slide, you know, with... You know, the our best players aging a little bit, and certainly the best players of the Kings not nearly as old. I think maybe that's what you could say. Oh, the Kings are more fearsome. But if you look at today, dude, I think I have to agree with you. I think you have to say you give the Sharks the edge right now, just given raw talent. I mean, they don't have a 100-point scorer the way we have Joe Thornton. You know, it's like 80 points, 90 points in Patrick Marleau. Who do they got that's gonna be able to throw up those kinds of numbers. They don't yet.
Right.
Not they never will, but they don't yet.
Yeah. But the other thing that we have to keep in mind with them, and we don't have the, you know, and with the Doughty contract not done yet, you know, it's likely we're going to have more cap space than they will. I mean, mm-hmm. they've got 9.9 left. You assume Doughty's going to get something like 5, maybe.
Oh, easy.
You know, so now that's going to put them around where we are. So it's not like they're going to be able to make some huge deal to bring in a big player.
Right.
Like they've been rumored to do in the past, but it's getting closer. It's good. Getting closer. And obviously, Dean Lombardi feels like they're close, or he wouldn't have traded Shen for Richards.
Right. All right, dude, let's go to prospects.
Okay, dude.
All right, dude, young dudes, you have a draft or a prospect update or a prospect ranking for us this week. What do you got?
Well, I'm going to make my own top 10 prospect list here.
All right.
I did some research, you know, on a few different blogs, Hockey's Future, Puck Prospectus, you know, trying to put together some information. We know that Sharks are ranked very low. I mean, around the NHL, dead last by Puck Prospectus. Before we traded Charlie Coyle, Hockey's Future. Damn it! Damn it!
Sorry, dude. I don't know what's going on with this.
I'm going to have to start over.
Okay.
Dude, I've been working on a...
Jeez, I don't know what's going on.
So, anyways, Hockey's Future had us ranked 25th out of 30. So, you know it's lower now without Charlie Coyle. We don't know what it is, but... I disagree with their list, you know, mm-hmm. and the list that I've seen in the hockey news before. I'm going on players with, you know, potential upside... Because, you know, the guys who are the most NHL-ready are not high-end prospects. You know, guys like Tommy Wingles. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, okay, if he's even NHL-ready, I mean, he's had a cup of coffee, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at guys who, if they play out the way they might, you know, they could be impact players. So that's what I did. The other thing that gave me a little bit of hope is that back in April, ESPN columnist Gare Joyce, who writes about scouting and the mm-hmm. draft, he's a former scout himself, I believe, listed three teams who had the most under-the-radar prospects in the NHL, and the Sharks were one of them.
Okay.
So two of the guys on my list here were on his list for under-the-radar prospects. So number one, dude.
Dude, you want to start at number 10 instead of number one? Then we can have like the Dave Letterman-esque countdown.
Number 10, dude.
Okay.
Number 10.
Yeah.
Just mentioned him, Tommy Wingles.
Okay, right, Tommy Wingles.
Tommy Wingles played his first professional year of hockey last year in the American Hockey League. He was the captain of Miami, Ohio's team. They were an elite team when he was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing with Tommy Wingles is that the scouting reports I've read on him, people seem to doubt that he has the makeup to be a bottom six forward.
Okay.
And that maybe he's more suited to be a second line type player. But he didn't really demonstrate that last right. year. I did like the fact that even though he almost murdered Logan Couture, you know, he had a little fire in that teal and white game. Is one of the only guys who seemed to not understand that you're not supposed to care about it.
Right.
So, and his, you know, five NHL games, he didn't really impress that much, but he did make the team out of camp last year. And I don't think we should forget that.
Right. Okay.
So Tommy Wingles, you know, kind of unknown, but he maybe is one of the guys who's the most ready to play soon.
All right. All right. Number nine.
Number nine, goalie Harry Sateri.
Okay.
All right. Harry Sateri is in a little bit of limbo. You know, the Sharks are overloaded at the goalie position at Worcester. They've got Sexsmith. They've got Sateri. They've got Stalock. They've got Grice. I mean, they've got four guys really for two spots.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is going to end up disappearing, and the other one will end up probably in Stockton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sexsmith did the Stockton thing last year. Maybe Sateri is going to do the Stockton thing this year if they want to keep him over in North America instead of having him play in Finland again. This guy has world junior experience playing for Finland. Not especially well, but he did play. and he's played professionally in Europe for a few years. So I think that puts him ahead of some of the other Sharks goalie prospects.
Okay.
Number eight, dude.
Yes.
A guy who was not even drafted and a little bit off the board here. signed at training camp last year after the rookie camp, Michael Scarbosa.
Whoa.
Michael Scarbosa. The reason why I'm putting him on this list is because he had an eye-opening year last year in junior. He had 82 points in the regular season, 14 points in 8 playoff games, and that earned him an invite to Canada's World Junior Camp this year.
Nice.
So a guy who goes from completely undrafted to having a huge year. I mean, I would imagine that if he was had that type of season and is now on Team Canada's radar, he probably would have been drafted this year by somebody.
Right.
You know, you imagine this guy. He's small. He has solid skating, good hands. You know, he's not going to he's a go-to guy. You know, he's going to be a scorer. And finally, he got that opportunity on the team that he's on now in juniors to be that guy. So he's kind of found a role that he works into as an elite scorer in junior.
Okay.
We know that doesn't always translate.
Right.
Especially for a guy who's undersized.
Interesting pick, dude.
But I was impressed by his development, which I think is what we're looking at here, is can guys continue to improve? Speaking of improving or not improving, number seven, our favorite guy, Nick Petrecchi.
Number seven.
I have him down at number seven.
Okay. Right? Interesting.
The reason why I have him down at number seven is I'm just concerned that he still isn't being given the responsibility at the AHL level of anything but a third pairing defenseman, you know? And third pairing defenseman in the NHL would be top pairing defenseman in the AHL.
I mean, Jay Leach was like the captain.
Jay Leach.
Yeah.
So this is a big year for Nick Petrecchi, I think.
Yeah.
In Worcester.
It's like we say this every year.
Well, but this
might
really
be the,
is.
This might be the biggest one.
Yeah. I think maybe we expected a little bit too much off. We were impressed by him at Teal and White. And he played well, I thought, from my amateur eyes.
Yeah.
In the preseason when I've seen him, you know, he got kicked out of that one game against Phoenix, I think.
Yep.
He seems to stick up for other guys. He gets loads of penalty minutes. He's 132 AHL games, 235 penalty minutes, 177 shots. So he's not afraid to shoot the puck, you know.
But he's at the, what I'm going to call the Lucas Cashbar breaking point, which is this, after this year, if he doesn't impress an AHL, then he's turning from a once heralded prospect to on, you know, the window is closing quickly for this guy.
I mean, he'll basically be staring at Matt Pelich, who's the guy who this was for Calgary.
That's right.
And, you know, maybe that's part of the reason why Matt Pelich is here, to really push Nick Petrecchi. So I'm hopeful that we will see Petrecchi in Teal at some point, a brief three-game appearance when Jim Vandermeer has the gout or something.
Right.
You know, we see Petrecchi come in. Sharks are already 10 points up on the Kings. Perfect world scenario.
Right.
And Petrecchi gets a little audition and we can get a little taste.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Number six is the Sharks' second-round draft pick this year, Matt Nieto.
Okay.
Matt Nieto had, you know, he played with Charlie Coyle last year at Boston University. Coyle had 26 points on 78 shots in 37 games. Nieto had 23 points and 80 shots in 39 games.
Okay.
So comparable numbers, not comparable in size. Mm-hmm. All right. Nieto is not as big as Coyle. His game is not size, it's speed. He's a winger. He is in camp with Team USA World Juniors this summer.
Okay.
So he has caught their eye. It would be great if he could make that team and really make a leap like Coyle did this last year.
That's right.
But I think he's someone we should definitely keep our eye on.
All right, dude. Number five.
Number five, Alex Stalock.
Okay.
All right. Alex Stalock is a bit of an injury mystery right now.
Yeah.
And we're not exactly sure how he's going to recover.
If he weren't injured, would he be number one?
I don't think so, because where's he going to play? I mean, I also am taking that into account.
Really?
Okay. I mean, I feel like, you know, he has little value. And what are you going to get for him? He's never played an NHL game.
Right.
Right? Or he has played.
No, he was on the bench. He never.
I thought he got in. Didn't he get in?
He
played 20 minutes.
Right.
Or
he played one game, right? Played
one game. He did.
Shutout.
He did okay.
Yeah. You got a shutout.
All right. But he's not proven. It's not like we're talking about Corey Schneider here.
Right.
You know, or even Josh Harding.
Or even Corey Schwab.
Right. Wow.
Anyway.
So I think because of the injury and because of his lack of NHL experience, I mean, even what's the upside here for him? He plays great again this year in the AHL while Harry Sateri and Thomas Greiss are just staring at him awkwardly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
giving him that creepy stare.
Yeah. I feel like the situation down there is really muddy, you know? Yeah. And
you're right. Even if he does like become the Vezina equivalent winner in the AHL, where's he going? We've got
Niemi for 4 more years.
Right.
So, I mean, upside is what, you know, Nidamaki walks and then we bring in Stalock to back up Niemi next year and he plays 30 games, 20 games. I mean, that's good.
That's
like if you can have a good, reliable backup. So I think that's why I just have him down at 5.
Okay.
Number 4. Because it's not really in a position of stuff that we super need. Number 4, I have Marek Videnski, who's our 7th round pick in 2009. You see the low draft picks here that we're going to be talking about. You know, the Sharks seem to get pretty good value, which is something Garrett Joyce talked about. We know Doug Wilson probably admires that in Detroit. 6'4", 195, good size. Great junior career. Great end to his junior career. He's been on the Slovakian World Junior team twice. 13 games, 10 points in World Junior. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's good.
Against elite competition, you know, he's able to score. He's aged out of junior. So he's, you know, from what I can tell, he's aged out. He's going to be in Worcester. So we'll see in camp, what is he? You know, is he a third line guy? You know, is he going to be a 70-point player for Worcester?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he plays the penalty kill. He had 6 shorties last year.
Nice.
So we know he was out there in junior playing that. 88 points plus 60 and 52 pims last year for Saskatoon.
Crazy.
So another guy who could end up being a huge value pick, or he might just be a zero when he gets up to playing with adults. Number 3 I have, and this is a question, dude. I have Justin Braun.
Okay.
All right. Is Justin Braun still considered a prospect to you?
How many NHL games does he have?
Dude, I don't know that.
Dude.
I'm going to say 15.
Okay. Yeah, he's on the bubble. I think 15.
I think he would still qualify for Rookie of the Year.
He would. He would. So let's set that as the bar.
Okay. If you qualify for Rookie of the Year, you're still a prospect.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then fair enough. Number 3 is Justin Braun. Good size. Needs to probably be a little more physical, take that leap like Demers did.
Mm-hmm.
And we really saw Demers be more physical. His ability to get shots through is remarkable, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 11 points, 44 shots. Oh, dude, he played 28 games.
Oh,
I'm seeing that here.
No longer a prospect.
No longer a prospect?
Dude, he's over 25 games. He's no longer Rookie of the Year.
Damn it, dude. Well, my list is ruined.
All right, dude. So top 9 then. So we're at number, now we're at number 2.
Gosh. All right, number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Doherty.
Okay.
The monster.
Yes.
The monster from Kingston.
Yeah, the beast.
6'7", 235.
Right.
We saw him 2 years ago in prospect camp, and he looked a mess.
He looked like a tree.
He looked like shambles.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't really know which end was up, dude. And he's had a very good year playing under Doug Gilmore in Kingston. He was the captain this year. He can go back to juniors. I think he'll probably go back to juniors, even though he played in Worcester at the end last year. But, you know, people are projecting him, and Garrett Joyce is projecting him to be a top 4 D-man in the NHL.
Nice.
Which is a high compliment. He can handle the puck, say he's super confident, almost a little cocky. He loves players like Chris Pronger. He's a big boy. You know, he had 53 points last year, 86 penalty minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to kind of get that under control. So that's a player, especially this year, if he's still in junior 1 more year. I mean, can he really be in the conversation of like top 3 defensemen in, you know, the Western Hockey League? You know, mm-hmm. Can he make that leap?
Right, you know? Right. All right, dude, number 1.
Number 1, dude, drum roll, please.
Okay.
It's an earthquake.
I don't have a sound effect.
This is way off the charts, dude. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Hockey's future has him at number 14. I say he's number 1. Freddie Hamilton.
Yeah!
Freddie Hamilton. Freddie Hamilton, brother of Ducky Hamilton.
That's right.
Draft choice of, I believe, Carolina.
What about George Hamilton?
George Hamilton is his blood-sucking cousin with a great tan. Gare Joyce, again, in this article, said, you know, interviewed a scout who said that if he had been in the draft this year, he would have been a first-round draft pick, no question. You know, and we got him in, I believe, the fifth round last year.
Nice.
And that's, he had such a big year this last year. 38 goals, 45 assists, 83 points, 3 shorties, 10 power play goals, plus 25, 14 points in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he turned into a go-to, you know, elite junior center on a very good team. He's in World Junior Camp for Canada this summer. I really hope he makes it, because then we could see him playing with other elite players and see how does he stack up.
Right.
You know, how can he do with, you know, a really great player on his wing? I'm excited for him and to see, you know, he's only 19. So he's got 2 more years of junior. He is signed to a contract. So the fact that he's already signed and he's 19, I mean, I think they're kind of looking at him as this might be his last year, and he'll end up debuting in Worcester probably next season or at the end of this year. I have Freddie Hamilton, you know, down as our really only top-end center prospect, forward prospect that we've got left.
Really? Okay.
At the moment, dude.
Dude, I like your list.
Do you like it?
I do. I think it's going to be a very... It's going to spark a lot of debate in the comment section, hopefully, or you can send us emails.
Yes.
I think that's some good things to think about. And we have an email from Patrick, sort of along the same vein. He says, here's my question. I feel at the moment the organization has a number of forwards in Worcester and San Jose who are in a state of limbo. Most of these guys seem bound for careers in the bottom six at the NHL level if they make it there at all. From the following list of players, pick one who cements their position on the team this season and one who you think will play their last season in teal. Realize a lot of the guys listening are RFAs and could still be in the organization somewhat regardless of how they do, but I'm interested in who you think can actually carve out a role this year and who management may have seen enough of. So the list is Torrey Mitchell, Jamie McGinn, Ben Ferriero, Andrew Desjardins, Brandon Mashinter, Tommy Wingles, and Fraser McLaren. So, dude, which guy is going to carve out a role for himself, and which guy is going to play himself out of a job?
I'm going to say Andrew Desjardins is going to carve out a role for himself.
Okay.
I think that this guy has defied all odds in his hockey career, undrafted CHL, ECHL, AHL, and now he's in the NHL. I like what I saw from him. He can score a little bit. He's tough. He can win face-offs, good defensive presence. I think he's going to have a regular shift on the fourth line this year and cement himself as having a career in the NHL. I'm rooting for the guy, dude. Who's your pick?
I'm going to go with our friends over at Fear the Fin and go with Jamie McGinn.
Okay.
I think Jamie McGinn has been sort of nibbling at the edges of a real NHL job. Despite his ill-advised penalties last year in the playoffs, he's certainly shown that he can play with the fastest players out there.
Yes.
And Doug Wilson seems to be going with speed this year. I think Jamie McGinn is finally going to find that middle ground between taking a dumbass penalty in the last 5 minutes of the game and being able to use his speed for the forces of good. So I'm picking Jamie McGinn as the guy who's actually going to make the fourth line and stay there.
I hope you're right. I'm a big fan, and it's just, will they trust him enough to play him in some serious situations?
Okay, dude, who's on his way out?
Another player who I like, you know, but they don't seem to like very much is Fraser McLaren.
You took my pick.
I think he has not gotten a shot. Maybe he will this year, but I feel like they kind of evaluate him as an AHL talent at this point, and I think Fraser McLaren, this is his swan song.
I'm going to have to go that way with Ben Ferriero as well, because, you know, Ben Ferriero is playing on the top line in Worcester, and it doesn't look like Ben Ferriero has been effective at doing what Jamie McGinn is trying to do now, which is go from a guy who is in the top six, a scoring forward, getting some good minutes on power play and so forth, which Ben Ferriero is still getting in Worcester, and then transitioning to a third or fourth line sort of grittier role with the big club, because Ben Ferriero, at least when he's put in that position, at very first, when he had all that energy and excitement about playing in the NHL, he seemed to do just fine. And then as time went along, it seemed like this guy is more and more out of place on the third and fourth line. So I think Ben Ferriero might have carved himself out a career as being a good quality player in the AHL level, but I don't think he's going to find an NHL job with the Sharks. He might find it someplace else, but I don't think he's going to find it with the Sharks.
Interesting.
All right, so good question, Patrick. Thank you. We have one more email. I know, dude, can you believe how long? We're already over 40 minutes. This is ridiculous. If you're still listening, this is ridiculous. You're at least as starved for hockey as we are. Okay, so Dave is providing filler, although obviously we don't need it. So Dave has questions. The end of the current CBA, what direction do you think will happen and what do you think should happen? Should contract lengths be limited? Rule changes, what do you think will happen? And the last question, he says, do you think LA are now replacing Dallas and Anaheim as the real competition? So we answered that already. LA is clearly the, with the Sharks, among the cream of the crop of the Pacific Division. And right. I think both Anaheim and Dallas are quite a bit behind in every way. So let's talk about CBA, rule changes, contract stuff. I love talking about this stuff, dude. What do you think is going to happen with the CBA? Like, what do you think are going to be sort of the sticking points? We see two other major sports right now in sort of labor disputes. And it's funny because I was seeing something and they said, oh, looks like Gary Bettman's a genius now because he sort of resolved these issues. And now the league seems to be pretty healthy financially. So what do you think might be might change here?
Like, I think there'll definitely be another team in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's
got to be in the CBA.
That worked out great.
Bring ice hockey back to the South.
How about two teams in Atlanta? Because one isn't enough.
Dude, this isn't really my wheelhouse. I'm gonna toss it back to you. I think you'll have a lot more to say.
Yeah, contract lengths. Is there a contract limit in the NBA?
I don't know.
Okay, dude, you're supposed to know all the
Sorry.
Other sports.
I think there might be. I mean, they have a bunch of other rules in the NBA that, with the salary, but you can go over the cap in the NBA and you get a luxury tax.
There's like a Larry Bird rule.
Yeah,
or
I mean, well, you can go over and you get like taxed like double
right
what you spend over, so it's kind of goofy. But I'm not sure about an overall contract length.
So here's one thing that is a problem that I see with the NHL right now is that the lowest teams don't want to even make it to the floor because the lowest teams are really losing money. So right. You talk about Phoenix and ex-Atlanta and the Islanders and stuff. So I think there might be something there about a wider disparity between the salary cap max, the ceiling, and the floor. I think that might be good because with the NFL, there's so much sharing. Like, basically all league revenues are shared equally among 30 teams. So every team, like, they could just like sleep in their car the entire season and make money. So the NHL doesn't have that. So you have teams like Toronto who charge $1,000 a seat. They make money without even thinking about it, even though they're terrible. And then you have a team like Phoenix who can't sell out because not that many people in Phoenix care about hockey, and they can't make money no matter what they do, even if they make the Stanley Cup Finals. So I think they might have some sort of provision that the teams that don't make a lot of money aren't going to have to spend the same amount in payroll. I think you might see that. I'm not a big fan of contract limits. I think teams should be able to award contracts as long as they want. But I don't like the fact that a player can get $10 million at the beginning of the contract and then $1 million at the end. So I think they got to put in something like...
They're going to fix that.
They got to fix something like that. Because right now, your salary can't go down 50% year to year. So you could go from 10 to 5 to 2.5 to 1.25. I think they got to do something like, it can't go down more than 50% throughout the life of the contract. So if you're going to make $10 million one year, the least you can make any other year is $5 million. They got to do something along those lines, because then you have all these things like the Pronger contract where you're making, or who's the guy that's making $1 million? Ehrhoff. He's making $1 million like the last 3 or 4 years of the deal. Clearly, just... You extend the contract out 3 or 4 years to bring the cap hit down. I mean, it's just cheesy. It's stupid. I don't see why you would do it. And I think that the residual effect of that would actually be shortening the contracts. Because the reason we have contracts this long, at least the last couple of years, not counting, you know, the Rick DiPietro contract and so forth, is to bring the cap hit down because you pay the guy a lot less in the next year.
Shouldn't all contracts be 7 years?
Every contract.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Andrew Murray, congratulations.
Seven years.
I think 7 year max is good, but I don't want there to be, I think 3 is too little, because then you're going to see so much changeover in a league that already has a lot of changeover.
Yeah, I think.
In terms of players. So, you know, giving the team the ability to lock up. I mean, maybe that's something to discuss. I mean, maybe you can sign your own player to a longer term contract, but
right.
You can only sign a free agent to a shorter limit that gives the incentive for the player to stay And that is something that the NBA does have.
Right.
Is you can sign up your own player for over the salary cap number, and that gives you an incentive to stay. Mm-hmm. Stay where you are. You know, let the team build around you. What about rule changes?
I don't see anything.
What about a no-touch icing?
Yeah.
No-touch icing, dude?
I say no-touch icing. No-touch icing, I can say that.
How about getting rid of the
trapezoid?
Delay a game penalty?
That's kind of fun.
No, it's not fun when it happens to you.
I know.
I'd be up
for getting rid of the trapezoid first.
Yeah.
No-touch icing and then the trapezoid.
Yeah.
Those would be my two top things. The delay a game thing, because then, yeah, I don't know. I just
isn't it almost always an accident 90% of the time?
Yeah, you're right. Because they know it's a penalty. If it wasn't a penalty, I bet you guys would be doing it on purpose. Don't you think?
Well.
I mean, if you can, or maybe you say if you do that, then you can't get a line change. I mean, you could do something like that.
Yeah, make it like an icing.
Yeah, sort of.
I just feel like sometimes it has an impact on the game when clearly it was. I mean, we'll look at, you know, the Sharks game, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, didn't that happen to us? I'm trying to remember the Vancouver series. Like they called, they called an icing. Sorry, I'm remembering an icing. And
oh, it was the icing. It was just the icing. It was just a regular
icing. It wasn't that.
Just a blown icing.
See, call. I've already forgotten, dude.
Oh, well.
I've already forgotten.
And also, I think you should have 9 players on the ice at a time. So just, you know, minor rule change there.
But they're small.
Yeah.
Small
just players. Not, you could have 9 players, but only if they're all under 5'6".
Dude, I have an announcement.
Okay.
I have gone back and restarted my season on NHL 11 with all the rosters current.
Nice.
And I am playing currently with Martin Havlat and Brent Burns on the Sharks.
How'd you do that?
I will let you know how it happens.
Did you actually trade for them?
I have a lot of free time.
How'd you trade for them? Did you make the same trades?
I make it so I can control every team's roster. So I can do whatever the hell I want.
Right.
But I make it fair, dude. The Sharks just have Ovechkin and Crosby.
Nice. Okay. So that's pretty.
No, it's exactly how the rosters are today. So I'm going to...
Do you make every NHL roster accurate?
Well, you can download them.
Oh, okay.
So some
for a second there, I thought you were like individually tooling every roster to make sure Brian McCabe went to the Rangers.
I did. You make some changes. This one had most of the moves pre-July 1st that I had to go through.
Dude, that's insane, dude.
It was fun.
You think I'm crazy about the CBA stuff?
You think that's more crazy?
Yes.
I would.
Poll question. Poll question.
What's crazier? You know, I bet there's more listeners.
Mike reading the CBA.
Dude, how is that different than you sitting in your underwear playing Call of Duty?
Well, I don't do that anymore. I wear pants now. I wear pants now when I play Call of Duty.
You're such a big boy. Dude.
I wear my
There's
big
no
boy
difference
pants.
Of playing a video game. You're sitting and reading a rule book about a sport you don't play.
Okay, you make a good point. Okay, we'll put the poll question up there, dude. Dude, we're almost at 50 minutes.
We're going to make it.
No,
we're going to make it.
No, we're
dude,
not.
Dude, come on.
We're done. We got to end it, dude. I gotta hold on to some dignity. All right. We'll be back again next week. Thanks for listening.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.